are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, it's your host here, Colt Molesky. We're taking down another Locked On Wolves podcast today. We got plenty to talk about. We had the weekend action against the Celtics. We have the Rockets tonight. So let's get into it. Let's dive into this. I know most of you Timberwolves faithful, if you are from the Minneapolis or Minnesota area, I'm sure you're still reveling in the McCarthy firing. So pull yourself away from football, pull yourself away from the NFL. Let's get back into basketball, back into the NBA. Let's zero in on the couple of games that's been going down. First, I want to talk a quick second about the Celtics. And specifically Jeff Teague, and I'll make it quick because I feel like I've been talking about point guards a lot the last 2 weeks. I promise I'll make it quick, but it was brought up to me by a few listeners on various places and various sources, so I want to talk about it quickly. But if you didn't see, 118-109, the Timberwolves suffered their first loss in a little over a week, which is nice to say. Puts their record at 11-12. I watching this game. It really was. I talked about this going in, where you had the three teams. The theme for the next three teams, right, was Spurs, Celtics, Rockets. All of them needed to jumpstart and get back into a rhythm, get back into the winning ways that you know they had. You know all these teams were good. You know all these teams were playing down. You knew all these teams were in a funk. And so the goal was to not be the team that kind of helped jumpstart them back into like a six-game streak or something like that. And they did a great job against the Spurs and crushed the Spurs. And unfortunately, it feels kind of like they were the jumpstart game for the Celtics, because everything was clicking in the Target Center for the Celtics. Gordon Hayward, a guy who has been really rusty and not looking himself, dropped 30 points and shot 50%. You had Kyrie Irving looking really good, 21 points, 9 assists. And he's been playing well this season, but they really seemed to gel as a unit. You had 5 players going for double digits, 4 of them starters. You had a solid night for Al Horford. He's been kind of in a funk, but he had 15 points, shot 63%. He had a block, a few rebounds, a few assists. Jason Tatum with 19 points, 9 rebounds, a steal. He shot 46%. As a team, they shot 47% from the field, the Celtics did. And it was a really good game. I mean, even if you're looking at the one starter that didn't have double-digit points, Marcus Smart, 6 points, but he had 4 steals. He still shot 50%. There wasn't an aspect of this roster that you could point out and say, look, that was playing out of place. Even Terry Rozier, a guy who's kind of struggled in his lack of minutes or his decreased role as far as this team, 20 minutes, he only had 7 points, but he shot 42%. All these guys weren't playing outside of themselves. It seemed to really fit and to flow well. And then you had the Timberwolves. I mean, I didn't hate the way they played the Celtics. Again, this is a 9-point game against a really good team that was kind of waiting to jumpstart. I'm not trying to look for a moral victory here, but they played pretty well. You had Towns with 20 points and 9 rebounds. Covington, 17 points, 10 boards. And you had Derrick Rose coming off the bench, 26 points, 4 assists. Not a terrible game. Not a terrible game for the Timberwolves, and I know that you had question marks going into this game about Wiggins. I thought he played really well, 17 points. He had a few assists. He shot 41%, which was really important, 40% from three. That was really important because he was shooting really inefficiently and taking a bunch of shots and missing a bulk of them. And so I thought that this was a pretty important game for Wiggins. It felt like he was kind of getting back into it, getting back into his rhythm that he had earlier this season. And I know that 17 points maybe isn't something to write home about, but the shooting 41% and the shooting 40% from three are the numbers I'm looking at, especially the 83% from the free throw line on 6 attempts. Again, he hasn't been traditionally a great free throw shooter, doing pretty well this season, boosting those numbers. And then over that kind of rough patch of that rash of wins the Timberwolves had, that sour patch for him, he wasn't getting to the free throw line really at all. And so to see him get to the free throw line, see him knock down some threes, see him put up an over 15-point game efficiently, that was good. I thought that was a good game for him. I think that that should propel him. I think that my prediction is that he's going to have a pretty solid week this week. You have some primetime opponents tonight, especially against the Rockets. And I think that that should spell a little bit of a turnaround for him. The biggest thing, though, I had some people, I saw some people talking about it on Twitter. I had at least one listener reach out to me via Twitter. And I didn't answer because I wanted to answer on the show, but I see those. Again, anytime you guys reach out to me, I see that stuff, and I will address it either directly or on the show. I love having a back and forth with you guys. So I see that stuff. I pay attention to that stuff. I will address it. But I also had people just talking to me, friends talking to me, people who listen to the show, texting me or calling me up, people talking to me in real life. I had some people over Sunday for football games, people talking to me there who listen to the show. And a lot of people really upset with Teague after this performance. Shot 30%, 11 points, had 6 assists. And here's the thing. So I want to go out about this quickly because I want to talk about the Rockets, and I feel like I've talked about Teague and the point guard situation a lot. Pierre was right on the show last week. Fox 9, he does Fox 9 coverage on the Timberwolves, Vikings, all that good stuff. Lots of sports coverage for Fox 9. Go check out Pierre Nugent on Twitter. But here's the thing. He said that when Towns isn't going off, when Wiggins is having a dry spell as far as points, one of the guys that you kind of turn to is starting to turn into Covington. You can always turn to Rose, it seems, this season on the bench. But Teague is one of those guys that you kind of turn to as a possible third option when Towns and Wiggins aren't having a big scoring night or aren't having a big scoring quarter. The other thing, too, is that he really does help this offense. I know, and again, I admitted this, there are plenty of times where he slows the pace down and he dribbles deep into the shot clock and he plays a little bit too far into the half court. But there's also a ton of times where he is helping move this offense, where he's garnering a bunch of assists, where he's drawing defenses. And sure, he's not exactly a super confident player from three. There were some times where I feel like he passed up threes in that game to try and drive in or try and create a shot for somebody else. But that's the thing, is you got to take the good with the bad with Teague, and it's not like there's another point guard on the bench that should take his spot because he's uber good on defense or an uber good two-way player. And here's the tough part. If you trade him, again, if you trade him, you're banking on Rose and Tyus Jones to make up that slot, to make up that starting point guard slot. And I still can't trust Derrick Rose to stay healthy, and I still don't want to trust Tyus Jones because Tyus Jones is not a good player to have in the slot if you're trusting somebody to be a potential third scorer on this team. There are plenty of nights where Teague has been the third guy scoring, or the guy you turn to as the third man up scoring. And I know Covington can take that role. I know Rose can take that role. But Teague also can take that role. And Teague has taken that role. And you can't trust Tyus to do that. And I can't trust Derrick Rose to stay healthy still. I just can't. The bulk of his work off the court leads me to believe that there is an injury coming. And I know that's a really dark way to look at this, but that is the way it is. The other thing is that you can't trade him, but he's also making too much money. You can't bench him. You can't bench him. You can't have that on the bench. That's going to make a locker room problem. And that's just silly to have that much money benched. The real way to handle this is he needs to play about 22 to 25 minutes, and Derrick Rose needs to play about 22 to 25 minutes in that area, roughly, so that you can get guys like Saric playing enough minutes. You can get guys like Okogie playing enough minutes. I think Okogie would have been really helpful in this game, and he didn't play at all. And Teague played 32 minutes. Teague needs to play, and there are really good spots for Teague to play, and there are really important spots for Teague to play. But Teague playing 32 minutes is too many minutes, especially when it means Okogie doesn't play at all. So Tyus Jones, I think that 18 to 19 minute role is fine for him. I think you want Derrick Rose to play at least 24 minutes, 25 minutes per game, if not 26, just because of how well he's scoring, how efficiently he's scoring. But you also need Teague to play because he's going to give you some things offensively. I really love that two-guard lineup when they run Teague and Rose out there together. I think that works really well. And I think that Rose helps Teague push the pace a little bit. But I still think that there's a way, and you can't trade him, you can't bench him, so you just have to work his minutes down to like 26 minutes a game, and then give those minutes to Okogie. 23 or 25 minutes a game. Give those minutes to Okogie, those extra minutes. But that's just the way it's got to be. That's the pill you got to swallow right now if you're a Timberwolves fan. Because you cannot look me in the eyes and tell me you trust Derrick Rose to stay healthy or stay mentally locked in this entire season. There's been two teams over the past couple years. And granted, the Cavs situation, the Knicks situation, maybe not the best off-court locker rooms. Not that the Timberwolves are winning any awards this year, but you cannot trust Derrick Rose to be there every single game. I'm sorry. You just can't. I love the way he's playing, and I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, and I'm sure he won't leave for personal family issues in the middle of this season, but you can't trust his knees or his ankles, his legs to stay healthy this season. You can't. You just can't. And so Teague is going to stay on this team. You can't trade Teague because Tyus Jones isn't playing consistently enough offensively to help fill in and help be the other point guard in the kind of the two-point guard role that they play. You just can't. So I'm sorry, Timberwolves Nation. I'm sorry, listeners, but that's the pill you got to swallow. Teague is going to be around. What we've got to hope for is that he plays less minutes so Okogie can get in there. That's all I'm going to say about the Celtics, because this game really was the Celtics just kind of finding a rhythm and finding a lineup, a scenario where all the lineups and all their guys' minutes are kind of clicking in. It really felt like that kind of game for them. But moving on, let's talk about the Rockets after a quick break for some sponsors. So, the Rockets are in town tonight. Another really good team at home against the Timberwolves. They've had an interesting little homestand here. They played close with the Celtics. They just trounced the Spurs. Now they have the Rockets. The Rockets have been a weird team, granted. The Rockets have been a pretty weird team. And let's also, going into this game, just to kind of help set the tone a little bit. If you're looking at the Western Conference standings, and I do think that this is important. I know I've had some friends tell me that it's weird to look at the Western Conference standings, but you know what? It's not, because when it was as tight as it was last year, and let's remember last year, three wins. That's all that differentiated the third seed from the eighth seed. And you had teams on the inside looking out that really could have been in there. Let's not forget that the Timberwolves won on the last game of the season to push the Nuggets out of the playoffs. That's how close the margin of error was. And so these games matter for the playoffs. These games do matter for the playoffs. All of them do. And so that's why when you drop games against a stupid opponent like the Cavs, that matters. And so that's why winning that game was so important. And that's why winning big games against the Rockets, two teams in Minnesota and Houston, I think, should be in the playoffs by the end of the season, are important. The Timberwolves are 11-12 going into this game. The Houston Rockets are at 11-11. The Dallas Mavericks are at 11-10, and they're in the eighth seed right now, as of right now this morning. And they do not play. I'm just looking through the schedule, Monday night schedule. They do not play. So if you're the Timberwolves, that 12-12 mark pushes you right there with New Orleans, just right on the cusp of being in that A spot, and puts you over the top, over Houston and over Sacramento, who both have 11 losses. So that going to 12-12 over dropping to 11-13, where the Utah Jazz are, who are just above the Phoenix Suns for the last spot in the Western Conference. That's a big deal. And it's only a few games that separate these teams between being an eighth seed and being right there above the Phoenix Suns. And so these are important. All of these wins are very important. And being able to beat a Houston team that I think is still figuring out some things and getting them at home, I think is really important. I think that this Houston roster will figure stuff out and will be better at the end of the season. And so playing them early, because the Timberwolves play them obviously tonight, and then they don't play them again. I'm looking through the schedule. I don't believe they play. Yeah, they don't play them again until February. So by February, this could be a totally different Houston team, and we could be talking about in February how it's amazing that Houston started out the way they did and how they've bounced back over the last couple of months and how they've kind of regenerated this roster, how they've done X and O lineup changes, and now it's clicking out a whole nother level. Getting this win now is important. And if you're looking at the Rockets' last few games, before they had a two-game win streak against the Bulls and the Spurs, they went on a four-game losing streak. And those losses included losses to teams like the Wizards, the Cavaliers, and the Mavericks. And so this team is susceptible to some funky losses. And I really think that the Timberwolves are better than all three of those teams. The Rockets also did lose to the Pistons in that four-game losing streak, just that you know that it's not a three-game losing streak, but I think the Pistons are actually a pretty solid team. But anyways, I truly believe the Timberwolves are better than the Wizards, Cavaliers, and the Mavericks, even though they lost to the Mavs earlier in the season. And so now you're playing them. What was one of the formulas? Well, they all scored over 115. You had the Mavericks scoring 128, Wizards in overtime scoring 135, Cavaliers scoring 117. This defense is really susceptible to not only just scoring in general. They went from the seventh best defensive net rating last year to now they're ranked, they're the fifth best defensive net rating last year to the 26th, a 21 slot drop from last year to this year. And they're giving up 35% shooting from 3-point range this year. And the thing is that they lost a couple 3-and-D players, right? Trevor Ariza, Luke Mbamute over the offseason. Now, Luke wasn't playing. He was in a dip offensively, but both those guys were great 3-and-D players. Both those guys were comfortable sitting out on the wing and just grabbing passes from James Harden, from Chris Paul, and then dashing back and playing the perimeter really well. So not only are you losing two guys who defensively are going to really help you and offensively really help your isolation game, but you're losing two guys who are really adding depth to your rotation, really adding a layer to your bench. And the other thing, too, was I was listening to a Ringer podcast. Credit to bringing this to the attention of everyone, really. I believe it was Chris Vernon's and Kevin O'Connor's show that they do on the NBA podcast, but I'm not 100% sure. But I know it was one of the NBA Ringer podcasts. But they were talking about how Ryan Anderson was somebody nobody really liked, or a lot of people didn't like on that Rockets team, myself included. I am not a big Ryan Anderson fan. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a Ryan Anderson stan, but he did take those like 27, 28 foot jumpers, and teams had to respect that. He did knock down those shots. And so when you have a guy who's pulling defenses like that, when you have guys who like Trevor Ariza, like Luke, who are pulling defenses outside, that's just giving more space in the lane to James Harden, to Chris Paul, to Eric Gordon even. And so when those guys are gone, when you're replacing those guys with lesser three-point shooters, when you're replacing those guys with less consistent offense on the outside, that's going to hurt James Harden. That's going to hurt his ability to drive. That's going to hurt Chris Paul's ability to drive. Even Eric Gordon, a guy who can get to the bucket, to the rim, that's going to hurt his ability to drive. And so it's not as much that this team has taken a huge step back. It's that this team was really good at isolating Chris Paul and James Harden's games. They're really good at isolating those two players' games and playing to those two players' strengths. And then those players picked and choose opportunities for the rest of their team to get involved and made – and everything worked in that isolation system. And a lot of people didn't like it. I liked watching the Rockets play. I really enjoyed the isolation. I know I'm an outlier there. Well, whatever you thought about it, it worked. They won 65 games. It worked. And so when you're losing those key guys, maybe on their own, they don't seem like big losses. But when you're losing three of those guys in one offseason and then you're replacing them with somebody like Carmelo Anthony, who is just a negative, basically every factor. Even offensively, you can look at his numbers and it's not helping the team get better. And you're looking at defensively, he's a big zero. And so that turnover, that negative turnover, has really affected the Rockets. I mean, they're turning the ball over more this year. They're defensively not as crisp. Offensively, they're still taking the same amount of threes, but they're dropping in three-point percentage. And so you're seeing things start to deteriorate and start to go in the wrong direction. So that's why there is this shaky start for the Rockets at 11-11. Now, that said, James Harden is still really freaking good at basketball, and still an exceptional NBA player. Obviously, I'm not breaking any news here. Obviously, he is really good, and he can still really break a team for you, still really break a team on his own. He's averaging, he is number one in scoring still at 30.6 points per game. And so he is not taking a step back. He's not taking his foot off the gas pedal. So this team still has teeth, but there's this adjustment period, this growth period. And I think D'Antoni is a really smart coach. I think that with Chris Paul on your roster, once he gets to 100%, once you have James Harden, still, Eric Gordon is still a really good player. They still have really great pieces. And so I think they figure this out. I really do. I think they figure this out, and they still are a top four seed in the West, honestly. And the question is, like I was saying before this week started, before this slate game started, are the Timberwolves going to be the team where they figure it out against, where they start figuring stuff out? And that's what you got to avoid if you're the Timberwolves. So how do you avoid this being the game where they look back in 2 months and say, the Timberwolves, that's where they started. They had that little four-game run, and then they kind of split some games back and forth. But it generally started turning around with that Timberwolves game. Well, I think the number one thing is you can't be afraid of the three-point shooting. They're going to take a lot of threes. But I don't think you have to give them the same amount of space that you did last year. You don't have to respect the spacing as much. You really want to collapse the paint, really make it difficult for guys like Harden especially to drive. Really make it hard for them to take advantage of one-on-one matchups, really make it hard to take advantage of somebody getting caught up in a screen on the outside. Clog the paint and trust that, one, that they're not going to be very good from outside, but also trust your closeout guys. Trust guys like Covington, like Saric, like Wiggins. And hopefully, I really hope Okogie can be in this game, because he would be crucial in this game. But trust guys like Okogie. Long guys, super athletic, quick guys who can close out fast. Trust those guys to close out, but fade into the paint. Make sure the paint is clogged. Make it messy down there. Don't let James Harden drive in 12 times in the second half. Don't let that happen. That's the first key. The second key is really be vicious on the three-point line on the other side. The Timberwolves have done a fantastic job. All their three-point numbers are up. Three-point percentage, three-pointers attempted, three-pointers made. All of those numbers are up from last year, and it's really impressive. They're the 10th best team in three-point percentage right now in the NBA, making just about 36% of their three-pointers. Last year, in basically all those categories, they were dead last. This year, they're attempting 30 three-point attempts, and they're making just over 10 of them, about 11 threes a game. Again, all those numbers up. They're doing a fantastic job. They need to be really vicious, though, against the Rockets. I know maybe getting into a duel with James Harden fighting fire with fire on the three-point line seems dangerous, but this team has dedicated itself to being a really good team switching on defense. Switching. They do it more than any other defense. They did it more last year than any other defense, and it's not translating over this year with the players they've lost. It's not that style of defense isn't translating over. So do a lot of screens on the outside, at the top of the key, off the elbow, deep off the elbow. Run a lot of screens on the three-point line. Force them to switch, because that defense is going to break down. It might not be in the first quarter. It might not be in the first half. But that defense is not the same as last year, and they're going to break down switching a lot on the outside. If the Timberwolves could take like 36 threes in this game, and again, almost all those threes, you're either making those shots on like the third pass, or you're making those shots after forcing the defense to switch their man, switch off of their man. it's going to break. It's going to break through. You're going to get some really good looks, and you're going to start knocking down some shots. Forcing this defense that's not as good as last year and still trying to play in the same format to switch a lot and to play off their specified man is going to be crucial. And then the last thing is Towns. Capella is having a down year. All of his stats, pretty much every one of his stats from last year this year are down. And I think there's a way to really take advantage of that regression, to really take advantage of kind of that negative from him. I mean, obviously, you have points. Well, okay, not all of his stats. I made a generalization, and I'm sorry about that. He's getting more points because he's shooting more. There's more shots available for him. But his defensive stats are playing down this year. His defense has not been as good. And again, this goes back to spacing. His workload is up, but that's clogging the paint when you have your center's workload up, who used to be utilized primarily on high pick and rolls with him dash to the basket. When he's getting more involved in the game, that means the paint is clogging up more. And so Towns can take it to him. Towns can take it to a guy whose defensive numbers are taking a little bit of a step back. And I think that's going to be big for the Timberwolves when you're really forcing a lot of switches on the outside. And Towns can be one of those guys, too, that's getting the switch on the outside and then taking advantage of it down low. But when you're causing all that movement on the outside and the Rockets are really starting to panic, if you knock down 4 or 5 threes in that second quarter and they're really starting to panic about, okay, we really got to do something about the three-point line. We're not doing a good job switching. We're not doing a good job defensively on the outside. And then you can take that confusion and that desperation and feed it to Towns. In a few possessions, I think that you're really taking advantage of a bunch of the facets that the Rockets are weakest at. And so that's really the simplest. That's really where you can really flip a game. You have a few possessions, you knock down some threes, you get them overplaying the three because their switching defense isn't working, and then you feed Towns a few times. Now you're on a run, now you're forcing them to play on their heels, and then on the other side, the paint has been clogged, and there's not the space that they need to really operate in that isolation basketball. That's when you clamp down on this offense. That's when you clamp down on this team. And so those are the things that I'm looking for the Timberwolves. Pushing the pace would be really nice. Again, this defense has not translated well from last year to this year. So pushing the transition, Rose pushing the pace of the game. If you have Teague and Rose out there to really push the pace, I think that would be phenomenal. Get some transition buckets on this defense and really really get them in a bad spot defensively. And I think it's easy. I think the formula is there. And I think this Timberwolves team is playing a new style to where it really adheres to putting them out of their comfort zone. This should be a big game for Covington. And if Wiggins can keep that positive shooting trend from last game into this game, bring it into this game, I think if he shoots with confidence from three, this can be a really big game for him as well. I want to see both those guys attempt at least 7 three-pointers in this game. At least 7. And I think that's how you beat this team. That's how you make this team hurt. As far as predictions go, I really think the Timberwolves can win this game. I really do. I also can see Harden going out for 43 points. I can. 43 points for Harden is what I see. I think that this ends up being a squeaker. I hope the Timberwolves win. I really hope the Timberwolves win, and I see a path for them to win, a pretty clear route. But I can also see this being a 128 to 110 win for the Rockets, where Harden just goes bananas in the fourth quarter and has like 15 fourth quarter points and a bunch of assists as well and gets to the line. But again, I think the formula is there. I think the formula is there. You just got to weather some storms from James Harden, himself, and you gotta really attack that weak perimeter defense for the Rockets. There's a formula there, and I think they can take advantage of it if they take advantage of a few key things on the Rockets' defense. That's what I got for you guys. Thank you again for joining the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.